Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you today. Well, we all watched with joy as that Rosetta spacecraft successfully landed Philae, the lander on Comet 67P just yesterday. And one of the big questions that scientists are hoping we can answer from this mission is where the building blocks of life on Earth came from: water, elements like carbon and nitrogen. Researchers are hoping that by tasting that really filthy, dirty intergalactic snowball that is Comet 67P, we might be able to learn more about the possibility of life outside Earth. After all, the raw materials that make up comets are the same raw materials that make up Earth, and presumably the same ones floating in other solar systems in the galaxy. Well, here to put the mission to Comet 67P into some context for the search for extraterrestrial intelligence is none other than Dr. David Black. He's president and CEO of the SETI Institute. That's a nonprofit organization dedicated to exploring the origin and nature of life in the universe. Dr. Black, what a pleasure.
Pleasure for me too, Todd. How are you today?
Very well. Now, Dr. Black, you've been doing some writing about how this comet mission that I just described helps the search for extraterrestrial life. How does it do that?
Well, you touched on that in your introduction. We believe that the process that led to the formation of our planetary system goes on around other stars, and the recent discoveries over the past 10 years or so of planets surrounding other stars lends credence to that. So what we're seeing as we look at this comet is presumably much like what we would see in comets that would be elsewhere around the other stars and would be responsible for helping to build up the planets that we see around those other stars. And as you indicated, one of the beliefs is that these comets were responsible for bringing much, if not all, of the water to our own planet and delivered many of the organic compounds that are essential to the startup and subsequent evolution of life. So as we see these and get a better understanding of the nature of these objects, presumably they are very similar to similar objects that we'd find around other stars. And so it gives us a hope, if nothing else, that we will have a good chance that this process that took place here has taken place on those planets around the other stars. And of course, SETI, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence, we have to have the life there in order to find it. So.
Sure.
This gives support, generally speaking, to the notions that are behind SETI.
So at the same time, at the very best, we're not going to find spacemen or even bacteria, probably, on a comet. So what we're going to find is a bunch of raw materials, which then means that any evidence we get from this mission is, once again, raw materials and purely circumstantial.
That's right. And as I said, we found planets around other stars. That doesn't necessarily mean that those planets have life on them. But if we see and have a better understanding of the nature of comets as they deliver this raw materials for life to our planet, we can extrapolate that to the processes that would take place around these other stars. So it all is building a gradual support system for the idea that life is far more prevalent than we might have thought before.
And anyway, the search for exoplanets, a small subset of them, which we call Earth-like, is going gangbusters. I mean, you know, every 9 months or so, we have another planetary scientist on this show listing the next 120 planets that they've discovered.
Absolutely right. It's an exploding field. And in addition to that, the other thing that sort of goes hand in hand with the comet work is that we've found life in extreme environments many places here on the Earth. So our understanding of the conditions under which life can not only survive but prosper has expanded greatly over the last two decades or so. And so all these things work together to strongly suggest that their life might be far more prevalent than we thought. Whether it always evolves into an intelligent technological society is, of course, a separate question.
And I want to ask you that exact question because I'm interested in the direction you think this is most likely to take, as long as we're playing long odds here. You know, you're called the search for extraterrestrial intelligence, but it seems like if you're playing those long odds in a vast galaxy, you're probably more likely to have first contact with a microbe or the fossil of an extraterrestrial microbe than some fully formed space traveler from another world.
The way these searches are undertaken is they vary, actually. One way is to look for signs of intelligent life And the way you do that is to look for the technology. The assumption is that if you find technology, for example, radio signals, intelligence is there. But more than likely, the early discoveries of life are not going to be through that mode, but rather using telescopes to study the atmospheres of these other planets. Because when you do that, you can actually tell whether there is life on the planet if you have the right kind of telescope. You can't tell if it's intelligent necessarily, but you can tell that it's got life. You could tell it just looking back at the Earth that life was here just by the nature of our atmosphere.
All of the oxygen in the atmosphere, the carbon as well.
That's right. The methane, the oxygen. If you were to take our atmosphere and put it in a jar, it would quickly convert to a completely different composition because oxygen is such a reactive species.
Well, you know, I'm troubled by one thing, Dr. Black, and I've been troubled by it for a long time. I'm not the only one, so I'm glad you're here. We don't want to go too far afield here, but inflationary expansion, which is happening in our universe
yes.
every second, means that we're all moving away from one another at an increasingly fast rate. Every second that goes by, it gets harder and harder to run into someone else in the neighborhood because they're getting further and further away, and it's happening really, really fast. So that kind of counts against the effort. It's just getting harder to make the trip.
Well, when you say fast, it's fast in a cosmic timescale sense. It's not fast like a speeding car going by. Mm-hmm. That's over the scale of the universe as we understand it. So if you look at even within the context of our own galaxy, as huge as it is, the kind of expansion that you're talking about is nothing that we would even notice for thousands, millions of years. So I think we're safe in terms of whether a star or a planet in our own galaxy is going to wander off and move away from us. That's not going to happen because of the general expansion of the universe.
So as long as we stay in our own neighborhood, the Milky Way, we have a much better chance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
And the kind of travel, the kind of detection, I don't think anybody is too seriously talking about yet about travel, unless it's Interstellar, the movie, of course. But then that's a different mode of travel altogether. That's through a wormhole. So,
well, in another popular movie, if we want to bring it up, Contact was made by doing what you just described, listening for radio
right.
signals, which came. It was the contact was in the form of radio signals from outer space.
Well, that's absolutely right. And in fact, the woman who was the protagonist in that worked at the SETI Institute. So she was a real person.
And so was the founder of SETI and one of the authors of that movie, Carl Sagan.
That's right. That's right.
Dr. David Black is president and CEO of the SETI Institute, the Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. Dr. Black, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for helping us put the comet mission into much, much, much bigger context.
Well, you're welcome, Todd. Take care. Have a great day.